Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Jonah 4. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to think the way that you think. Help us to care more about other people's long-term good and less about our own temporary comfort. You are kind and compassionate. You're forgiving. You're so patient. We do want to see more people saved. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Jonah 4. And this was greatly displeasing to Jonah, and he became furious. And he prayed to Yahweh and said, "Oh, Yahweh, was this not what I said while I was in my homeland? Therefore, I originally fled to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and having great steadfast love, and one who relents concerning calamity. And so then, Yahweh, please, take my life from me, because for me death is better than life." And Yahweh said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And Jonah went out from the city and sat down east of the city, and he made for himself a shelter there, and he sat under it, in the shade, waiting to see what would happen with the city. And Yahweh God appointed a plant, and he made it grow up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. And Jonah was very glad about the plant. So God appointed a worm at daybreak the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, and he grew faint. And he asked that he could die, and said, "My death is better than my life." So God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry enough to die." But Yahweh said, "You are troubled about the plant, for which you did not labor nor cause it to grow. It grew up in a night, and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which are more than 120,000 people who do not know right from left, plus many animals?" Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. Jonah is a different prophet for sure. In chapter 1, God told him to go preach to Nineveh, and he went the opposite direction. So God sent a storm and a great fish to bring him back. In chapter 2, Jonah thanked God for saving him with a very well-written, poetic prayer. And then in chapter 3, God told Jonah to go preach again. And this time, Jonah went to Nineveh, like he was told. The people started repenting after just his first day of preaching there. And God decided not to destroy them since they repented. So now we read about Jonah's response to that. He sits down outside the city to wait, to see what happens. I'm not sure how much time has elapsed. Perhaps this is getting close to the 40 days, and Jonah is hoping that God will still destroy the city. But also, it seems that he knows Yahweh is not going to destroy the city, because he prays a prayer of complaint to Yahweh. He's complaining that Yahweh is compassionate and loving. So he asks to die. And Yahweh has a simple question in verse 4. "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah's sitting outside the city, waiting to see if God will go ahead and destroy it, like Jonah wants. And it's hot. So Yahweh commands, and a plant grows up to shade Jonah. He's very happy about this plant. And then Yahweh sends a worm to attack the plant, and it dies. And he also sends a really hot day, with wind from the desert bringing heat. So Jonah asks again to die. And again God asks if Jonah is right to be angry. And Jonah says it is right for him to be angry. Asking for death is the right thing in his mind with this plant that just died. So Yahweh explains how Jonah is bothered about a plant that he didn't do any work to get. He didn't put any care into growing the plant. And Jonah is also mad that God cares for a city, a great city with lots of people. God mentions 120,000 who don't know right from left. That is an interesting phrase that could mean small children, or it could be describing right and wrong poetically, that there are so many people in the city who don't know not to sin and they needed a preacher. So it isn't clear if this 120,000 is the total population or if the population is much larger. Also interesting is that 12 in the number, since 12 in the Bible represents God's people. And now for a deeper dive. Jonah looks really bad here. We can see this very clearly, and hopefully Jonah could see it himself by the end. The book ends without saying if Jonah learned from this. But the fact that we have the book does indicate that perhaps he did, since someone had to write this down for us. But when it ends without telling us that answer, perhaps it's trying to get us to ask the question of ourselves. If it was me, would I learn the lesson? Maybe there is something in this life like this already where I need to learn the lesson. What are our prayers like? Are we angry at God in our prayers for how our life has gone? Jonah did pray a very nice prayer of thanks in chapter 2, when God saved his life. But he didn't want to see God saving Jonah's enemies. Do we pray for other people? Do we pray just for people we like, or do we pray for our enemies? Jonah was happy to pray for his enemies, that they would die. But Jesus told us in Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust." Do we pray thanks to God for doing good to others and for doing good to our enemies? It would be easy to pray to God to bring down some countries in the world that we see as our enemies. It would be a little harder to pray that God would be kind to them and save them. And then, if we see those countries doing better than our country, becoming more prosperous, could we thank God for blessing them? Right now, the United States sees China as a threat to a certain extent. And we can look at how the current government in China is persecuting Christians. And we could want to see God punish that. But if God blesses China as a whole country, and they prosper, could we thank God for that? We really don't know how many Christians there are in China, but I think there are actually a lot of them. They may be persecuted by the government to one extent or another, but would we want to see them blessed with a prosperous country? Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible. Copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.